हरे नाम हरे नामेव केवलम् खलो नास्तेव 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 काथिरन्यथा। Our beloved acharyas have described Lord Brahma, the original spiritual master of our universe, who lives 311 trillion years, the father, or let us say forefather, of all living entities within this universal creation. Participated in Krishna Lila, when he wanted to really understand who is Krishna. When he saw Krishna, how he killed the Agasura, and then how he was playing with his cowherd boy friends as if they were equals. They were small boys. They weren't considered learned Brahmins, great rishis or sages. But Krishna wrestled with them, jumped, imitated animals with them. Sat on an equal level to eat with them. And was even eager to eat the food from their mouths. And they gladly shared it with him. Even Lord Brahma was bewildered by this. Thus we read in Srimad Bhagavatam how he stole the calves and gopas and how Krishna manifested all of their forms for one full year. When he came back to see what difficulties he created, everything appeared not only like normal, but better than normal. Because now every calf and every gopa was Krishna. In this way, each cow and each elder gopi had the fulfillment of their innermost heart's prayers achieved. They were all allowed to render direct, personal, mother affection, motherly affection to Krishna. And they received the same type of ecstatic motherly love as Yashoda and the cowherd man Nanda Maharaj. In this way, Krishna put Brahma under his yogamaya spell to teach the world a good lesson and also to fulfill the heart's desires of the Brijabasis. Brahma surrendered in great humility and prayed that he could serve the Lord in his next incarnation, not in such a high post, but in a very humble position. He came to Antadvip, and that is where Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told him the special significance of his incarnation. I will come with the devotional emotions of Srimati Radharani and her complexion as well, to give pure love of God through the propagation of the chanting of the holy names, and you will appear as the Namacharya. You will be my empowered representatives to demonstrate by your teachings and by your example the glories of the holy name. You will be born as Haridas Thakur in a family of Yavanas, untouchables. But you will be my intimate, loving associate. By the Lord's grace, Lord Brahma descended into this world and took birth as Haridas Thakur in the village of Budan. He was spontaneously attracted to the form of Lord Sri Krishna, which was most munificently manifested in the holy name. Thakur Haridas chanted the holy name day and night. For some time he lived just across from the border between what is now India and Bangladesh in a small village called Benapol. There he built a little thatched hut in the forest and planted a tulsi. And sitting in front of that tulsi, day and night, he was chanting the holy names. 300,000 names every day. That is approximately 192 rounds. And he followed this vow strictly. He would preach the glories of the holy name. And in this way, he became so deeply loved. He was so compassionate, so respectful to all living beings. Everyone loved him. Even the Brahmins loved him. Many. And even the Muslims, who were generally not favorable toward the religion of the Hindus, they were abandoning all varieties of religion and surrendering to Krishna by chanting his holy names. So there was a zamindar, or the person who was the landholder of that whole area. His name was Ramchandra Khan. And he was very wealthy and very learned and very proud, because that's usually what happens when you are given material opulences. You become proud. What is the natural consequence of false pride? You do not like competitors. You become envious of anyone who is gaining more respect than yourself. Why? Because we come to this material world because we want to be enjoyers, separate from Krishna. That experience is an expression of our envy toward Krishna. We want to be respected when ultimately all respect is meant for God. We want to enjoy when really all enjoyment is meant for God. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarva lokam eshwaram suhradam sarva bhutaram gyatvamam shantim richchati. Therefore, everyone is agitated. There's no peace in this world as long as this seed of envy remains within our heart. When we recognize and appreciate the fact that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, he is the enjoyer of all that exists, and he is the true friend and well-wisher of all living beings, then we achieve peace. But as long as we're thinking in terms of janasya moho yamaham ameti, I and mine, then our mind is disturbed, agitated, due to envy. When you envy Krishna, you are potentially envious of any living entity, because every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. We may be well-wishers. We may be very kind to someone, but the potential to be envious of them is there within our hearts. until we become purified. So Ramchandra Khan wanted to destroy a person who was the well-wisher of everyone. He tried in every possible way to spread rumors and faults about Haridas. But there was just nothing substantial. No one would believe it. He had to actually make Haridas fall into Maya. So he called all the local prostitutes and told his plan. And they all selected the best amongst them. She said, "Give me 3 days and he will fall down. This I promise you." So she was empowered with this service. She came as the sun was setting. This twilight time is very charming. And she bowed down to the tulsi plant and then bowed down to Haridas, who was sitting alone in his cottage. And she spoke with very lustful emotions in her voice. She said, "Oh, Thakur, you are such a great devotee. You are such a great preacher. You are such a saintly person. And your body, oh, that body is so well built. And you're at the very prime of your youth, the time of life to enjoy. And I am very beautiful and young. It is the will of Providence that we have come together alone on this moonlit night in the forest. I am longing for union with you. If you do not satisfy my desire, I will be unable to live. Saintly persons fulfill the desires of all living beings. So please fulfill my desire." Thakur Haridas looked at her with great compassion. He said that, "I have taken a vow to complete my prescribed number of names that I chant each day of Lord Hari. When I complete my chanting, I will certainly fulfill your desires." She was exposing parts of her body and making different poses, and Haridas chanted all night. When the sun rose, she went back to Ramchandra Khan, said, "No problem, he promised. Saintly persons, they fulfill their promise." He wanted to send policemen immediately. She said, no, let me enjoy with him once first, and then the second time you can arrest him." So the second day, the same situation took place. And the third day, as she was sitting with Haridas Thakur, just by hearing him and associating with him so closely, she spontaneously began to chant, "Hari, Hari." She spontaneously began to cry out the Maha Mantra with great feeling. At the end of that night, she fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and confessed that, "I was sent here to ruin your life. Ramchandra Khan sent me. But now I understand your greatness. I surrender to you. I want to be your disciple. Please initiate me and instruct me how I can achieve this love of Krishna that you possess." Haridas Thakur said, "Yes, I knew of this conspiracy of Ramchandra Khan. He is simply an ignorant fool. I decided to leave this place on that very day. However, just to deliver you, I stayed 3 extra days. Now, go to your home and give away all your possessions that you earned through your prostitution, and then come back here. I will be leaving this place. My home will be yours." wearing simple cloth, constantly chant the holy name of Krishna. Be kind to all living beings. Worship Tulsi Devi. And Krishna will provide everything for you. Then Haridas Thakur left. And that prostitute gave everything away, kept only one simple white cloth, which she wore. And she chanted hundreds and thousands of names of Krishna every day, following in the footsteps of her Guru Maharaj. She became so famous as a saintly person that everyone in all directions were coming and bringing her food every day. And everyone was celebrating the glories of Haridas Thakur and the chanting of the holy name. Due to that offense to Haridas Thakur, Ramchandra Khan's life was ruined. When Nityananda Prabhu came, he minimized Nityananda Prabhu. And soon after that, the governor came on behalf of king and plundered his whole village, contaminated everything of Ramchandra Khan's home, and arrested him, tortured him, and his whole family. The moral to the story, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, that if one offends a Vaishnav, not only is one's own life ruined, but even one's whole village, family, and everybody around him has to suffer the consequences. When Haridas Thakur left that place, he came to a place not very far away called Chandpur, which is in the province of Adisaktagram. In Chandpur, he was the guest of Balaramacharya, who gave him a little bhajan kutir to reside in. Balaramacharya was the priest for Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. Daily, every day, little Raghunath Das, who was just a student, would go to meet Haridas Thakur. When he saw the qualities of Haridas Thakur's renunciation and his complete attachment to the holy names of the Lord, when he saw the ecstatic love of Srila Haridas Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami's heart became so moved. He wanted nothing else in life. Although he was the only heir to an estate that was vast with wealth, property, and prestige, he saw it all as a disturbance. The only real wealth that he desired was what Srila Haridas Thakur possessed. Haridas Thakur just wore a simple kopin. Just lived in caves and little tiny kutirs, would just go to a Brahmin's house to beg some food. He had nothing except hold. He had nothing but Harinam. Nothing. And Raghunath Das had practically everything the King of Heaven would want. But it was then in the association of Thakur Haridas that Raghunath Das just committed himself. This is what I want. I want this love of God through Harinam. Haridas Thakur blessed Raghunath Das. And thus, later, with the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he became Raghunath Das Goswami. Now this is significant. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they all achieved the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. when Rupa and Sanatan were living in Ramkeli, in the middle of the night they approached Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, and they brought them in for the personal audience of Lord Chaitanya. Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar wanted to share the satsang of Haridas Thakur with many of their associates. So they arranged a conference where Haridas Thakur would explain the glories of the holy name. In this conference, many learned Brahmins attended. Many distinguished personalities were there. All of these learned Brahmins and saintly persons were praising Haridas Thakur. They were praising him. In that they were all giving introductions to his presence. They said, Haridas Thakur chants minimum 300,000 names of Krishna every single day. And the holy name of Krishna is so glorious that by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one Brahmin said, one extinguishes all one's sinful reactions. And another Brahmin said, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one achieves liberation from material bondage. Haridas Thakur stood up and said, those are not the real benedictions that one gains by chanting Krishna's holy names. Relieving one of all sinful karma and achieving liberation from material bondage are concomitant, insignificant byproducts of the chanting of the holy name. The real benediction of chanting Harinam is one gains ecstatic love for Krishna. When one chants the holy names purely, one's hair stand on end, one feels the ecstasy of love of Krishna within his heart, and ecstatic symptoms manifest. This is the true goal of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. The name of the Lord is so powerful that even a shadow of the holy name, Nambas, one can achieve liberation from material clutches. Just as before the sun even rises in the horizon at dawn, just the light of the sun dispels all darkness and removes all fear of thieves and dangers. So similarly, just the slight awakening of Namabhas, of the shadow of the chanting of the holy name, one attains liberation from all sinful reactions and all material bondage. But when one actually chants without offense, the full manifestation of offenseless chanting is the awakening of ecstatic love of God. This is the power of the holy name. Example is Ajamil. He was simply calling for his son, Narayan. But because he offenselessly chanted the name of Narayan, he remembered Krishna indirectly. And he was liberated from all of his life of terrible sins. And even the Yamadutas had no power to touch him. That is the greatness of the chanting of the holy names. So all the people there were applauding with great happiness. He has explained the true glories of Harinam. But there was one Brahmin. His name was Gopal Chakrabarti. He was very young. He was a leading tax collector. He was given the responsibility to collect 1,200,000 coins a month. So he had big high post. He was very learned in the scriptures. He had a beautiful body, a raised nose. His fingers were like champak buds, flowers. He had all material opulences, but he was proud. He became angry as fire to hear Haridas Thakur's words. He said, I revolt against what he has said. People spend millions and millions and millions of births to achieve mukti, liberation. And he's saying that such a high ultimate goal is an insignificant byproduct of the chanting of the holy names. This man is simply a sentimental, emotional devotee. He's committing a great offense against the ultimate goal of life, mukti. Haridas Thakur said, why are you behaving like this? What I am saying is supported by the scriptures. Don't you understand what the scriptures are telling us? But he was outraged. He said, if one does not attain liberation as a mere byproduct of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then I will cut off your nose. Is everyone able to hear? Haridas Thakur is very humble. He said, yes, that is very good. If one does not get liberation simply by a glimmer of Namabhas, then I will cut off my own nose. At that point, all the respectable people in the assembly were outraged. Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar fired him from all his services. They kicked him away. And then they all fell at Haridas Thakur's feet. We invited you and you came to our assembly and you were offended. Please forgive us. Thakur Haridas said, no, please do not feel bad. Actually, it's not your fault. And it's not even his fault, because he's just a dry mental speculator. He's reading the scriptures without a proper understanding. Therefore, it is not his fault, and it is not your fault. I am not concerned. Everyone, do not be in anxiety. Be happy. And then Haridas Thakur left. That is not the end of the story, my friends. 3 days later, Gopal Chakravarti contracted leprosy. And his beautiful raised nose melted away. And his toes and fingers, which were like champak buds, melted away. In horrible pain, he suffered. But ultimately, he was delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Kuliagram when he realized the severity of his offense to Thakur Haridas. From Chandpur, Haridas Thakur came to Shantipur. Where we are now is in Shantipur. This is the Fuliagram district of Shantipur. When Haridas Thakur arrived in Shantipur, he went to the house of Sri Advaitacharya. Advaita Prabhu was so very, very happy to see Haridas Thakur. To see a Vaishnav, a pure Vaishnav, who has complete faith and attachment to Krishna's holy name. There was no greater pleasure to Advaita Prabhu than to associate with such a devotee. They both offered their dandavat obeisances to one another. They both embrace and cry tears of affection for each other. They danced in ecstasy, chanting Harinam. Advaitacharya was so very, very pleased that a great Vaishnav came to live with him. Because all around, in all directions, he just saw materialistic people attached to
material enjoyment,
trying to find through karma and jnana the pleasures of this world or liberation. But no one was concerned with love of Krishna. When Haridas Thakur came to Shantipur, Advaitacharya celebrated in his heart ecstatic love for him. And Haridas Thakur the same toward Advaita. Sri Advaita Prabhu personally came to this place where we are today and arranged for Haridas Thakur to live in a cave-like structure on the bank of the holy river Ganga. In this cave, Haridas Thakur would chant 300,000 names of Lord Sri Krishna every day. And each day, he was invited to Sri Advaita Chandra's home for prasad. Advaita Chandra could not give up his company. And Haridas Thakur was spontaneously attracted to Advaita Prabhu. One day Haridas asked Advaita Prabhu, "Why do you feed me every day? I'm most sinful, most fallen, and I'm an untouchable by caste. And Shantipur is a place where there is a great society of learned, high-class Brahmins. What will people think of you if you're inviting me to your home and feeding me with your own hand every day?" Advaita Prabhu smiled, and he said, "By feeding you, I am feeding 10 million Brahmins. Because you're a pure Vaishnav who is tasting the nectar of the holy name. By feeding you, I am becoming most purified. Let anyone think whatever they want." It was the time for Advaita Prabhu to perform his annual Shraddha Patra, where one offers prasad for the deliverance of one's forefathers. Now this, especially at that time, was a very, very serious ceremony. And the culmination of the ceremony was that the most qualified of all Brahmins was given the first prasad. Now Advaita Prabhu was such a leader amongst Brahmins and Vaishnavas that the most learned, the most prestigious Brahmins of the whole area was there for his Shraddha Patra. Right in front of everyone's eyes, Advaita Prabhu gave the first remnants of prasad to Srila Haridas Thakur. In front of all of their eyes, Advaita Prabhu worshipped Haridas Thakur with the highest honors. This was very embarrassing to Thakur Haridas. But Advaitacharya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wanted to show all the Brahmins in all the world that above and beyond all social conventions is bhakti, devotional service. According to scripture, even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, chandala, if one is a devotee who has deep attachment to the chanting of the holy name, then that person can deliver not only himself, but he can be the guru for the whole world.
However, even if one is born in a Brahmin family and has all the 16 qualifications of a Brahmin, if he doesn't have that attachment to the chanting of the holy name, if he doesn't have devotion to Krishna, he cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. At that time in India, the caste system was so strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his associates like Advaita Prabhu to crash through all these barriers. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam ampapatyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. Krishna in Sri Bhagavad Gita explains who is a Mahatma. He doesn't talk about one's birth. He doesn't talk about one's education. He doesn't talk about one's wealth. A Mahatma is one who surrenders to Krishna, knowing Him to be the cause of all causes and all that is, and the means of surrendering to Krishna in this age of Kali is the chanting of the holy names. Here in Phulia Gram, we have come to give pleasure to Haridas Thakur. We should chant with great enthusiasm. Yes, Advaita Prabhu gave the first Shraddha Patra, the first remnants of prasad to Haridas Thakur, breaking through all social barriers to prove to the world the greatness of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada in this regard explains that when one becomes a Vaishnava, he takes initiation from a proper spiritual master and lives according to the proper Vaishnava principles, then he is Mahatma, or she is Mahatma, great soul. And even the greatest souls honor such Vaishnava. While living here in Phulia Gram, Advaita Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were very much saddened with compassion to see the materialistic ways of the age of Kali. Therefore, Advaita Prabhu was loudly crying out for Krishna to appear, worshipping the Lord with Ganga water and Tulsi leaves. Haridas Thakur, in his cave here in Phulia Gram, was chanting the holy names intensely, begging and praying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to descend into this world to deliver the fallen souls. In this regard, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended into this world. Why? Due to the prayers of Advaitacharya and the chanting of the holy names by Srila Haridas Thakur. While here in Phulia Gram, Thakur Haridas was sitting in his cave, chanting Harinam. It was twilight. The golden form of the full moon was rising in the horizon. The birds were singing especially sweetly. The fragrance of the flowers were like no other time. There was a very gentle breeze coming from Ganga Devi. It was the most enchanting night. Why? Because Maya Devi, the personification, the personality of material illusory energy, appeared in that forest. And with all of her powers, she created an atmosphere conducive to enjoyment. The atmosphere was just thick with the enjoying spirit. Everything was so sweet, so pleasing, so nectarine. And then she personally appeared. All the attractions of the entire illusory energy were embodied in this one form of Maya Devi, the source of all material pleasure. We will not dare to attempt to explain what she looked like. She approached the cave of Thakur Haridas, offered obeisances to his Tulsi, and came right to the opening of his cave. She glanced upon him. This is not an ordinary glance. All the powers of the illusory energy were glancing upon Haridas Thakur. So sweet. It is explained that the fragrance of her body was so nectarine. And the beauty of every one of her limbs was so exquisitely attractive that even Brahma and Shiva, what to speak of the great rishis, could not possibly control their minds. Hare Krishna. Actually, Shiva probably could have done it. So she presented herself to Haridas. My dear friend, you are such a great saintly person, such a good preacher, and you're so beautiful. But I have come because I am longing to unite with you. I cannot control my mind upon seeing your handsome form. Please, I cannot give up my life unless you fulfill my desires. Haridas Thakur said, yes, I will fulfill your desires. You just sit and hear the chanting of the holy name as I complete my vow of chanting. Then I will fulfill your desires. So as he was chanting, she was exposing parts of her body. That is explained that nobody in the entire universal creation could have possibly tolerated. But Haridas just went on chanting. The sun rose and she left. He said, come back tomorrow. So she came back after 3 days. Ultimately, at the end, Haridas said, yes, now I will fulfill your desire. And she said, actually, you never finish your chanting the holy names. This is my conclusion. You said you will fulfill my desires when you finish chanting, but you'll never finish chanting. Let me introduce myself. I am Maya Devi, the goddess of material energy. I have come to test you. She fell at Haridas Thakur's feet and prayed, please initiate me into the Maha Mantra. Previously, I have been initiated by Lord Shiva in the name of Ram.
But now, and by doing so, one can achieve liberation. But by chanting the names of Krishna, one attains the highest ecstatic love. This is what I desire. Please accept me as your disciple and initiate me into the chanting of the name of Krishna. Here in Phuliagram, Haridas Thakur initiated Maya Devi. That was the power of his devotion. Daivi Heshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vamye Prapadyante Maya Metadurantite. Krishna tells in Gita that Maya is all powerful, very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. Maya Devi told Haridas that up until now, no one has ever been able to resist my prowess. It is only you, a pure Vaishnav, who is tasting the nectar of the holy name. Shall I continue? Another very important story took place here in Phuliagram. Haridas Thakur, he had beautiful lotus-like eyes. His form was so charming. His long arms extended below his knees. He had all the symptoms of Mahapurusha. And he was so kind, so respectful, so compassionate to every living being. He was the friend of everyone. He would come out from his cave and dance and chant along the bank of the Ganga. Sometimes he would scream in ecstasy. Sometimes he would roll in the ground. His hairs would stand on end. He would cry torrents of tears. And to whoever he saw, with great humility, folded hands, he would induce them to love Krishna through Harinam. In this way, Haridas Thakur was gaining such incredible respect in Phuliagram. Even the very learned caste Brahmins were astonished to see his love, his compassion, and his ecstatic emotions. Everyone around was falling in love with Haridas Thakur because Krishna was manifesting through him in such a beautiful way. But there was a Kazi. Kazi is like, at that time, a type of a Islamic priest that takes political responsibilities. This Kazi saw that Haridas Thakur was a great threat to himself and his whole community. So he approached the local king, lodged this complaint that this Haridas, he's born a Muslim, but he acts like the low-class Hindus. And not only that, he's invigorating, inspiring all the Hindus. And therefore, we can't convert them. And worse than that, throngs of Muslims are being converted to the chanting of the names of Krishna, a Hindu god. This man must be punished. He must be stopped. Arrest him. The king proclaimed a warrant for Haridas Thakur's arrest. As Thakur Haridas was being brought here into the king's court, he passed through the prison. The prisoners were mostly very pious people who, due to practicing their own Hindu religion,
or let us say Sanatan Dharma religion,
were arrested, suppressed, and to some extent tortured simply because of their good and pious deeds. When they heard that Haridas Thakur was coming, they were so eager to see him. So eager. Because they were in a desperate, miserable condition. They were like that chataka bird who's just waiting for that drop of water to fall from the cloud. They had nowhere else to look, nowhere else to go. They were starving in a miserable condition. They were praying, begging the guards, please bring Haridas through our prison so that at least for a moment we could see his form. Because if we just see such a saintly person who's constantly chanting the holy names, then all of our sufferings will be eliminated. We will achieve the benediction of good fortune. So Haridas Thakur was brought through the assembly of prisoners. All of those prisoners stood gazing upon the beautiful form of Haridas Thakur. Please listen carefully. This is all important. Because of their eagerness for his association, their anticipation to have his darshan, they were so serious. Because they were starving for his mercy. Because they felt a sense of urgency and desperation to receive his blessings. When he came in, their entire consciousness was engrossed in seeing him and offering the heart's respects to him. And due to their eagerness, due to their greed, transcendental greed for that satsang, their hearts were receptive to receive his mercy. Something extraordinary took place. As they were looking at Haridas Thakur in this state of mind, Astasattvika Bhava appeared on their bodies. The 8 symptoms of ecstasy manifested from them. They were crying, their hairs were standing on end, their limbs were trembling. Haridas Thakur looked at them and smiled. Then he gave them a benediction. Smiling, he happily spoke this hidden benediction. Stay as you are. May you always be as you are now. Now that is not the type of benediction that a prisoner is longing for. So a little unhappiness entered into the prisoner's hearts. Haridas Thakur could understand. Therefore, he mercifully explained the true meaning of this hidden benediction. He said, I have given you a blessing, but not understanding its real meaning, you are now unhappy. I did not give you a bad benediction. Please give this some thought and try to understand it. Now your hearts are attached to Lord Krishna. Please remain like that at every moment. Attachment to a Vaishnav is attachment to Krishna. Because Krishna is living within a Vaishnava's heart. Krishna is manifesting through a Vaishnava's life. Attachment to Vaishnava is attachment to Krishna. Haridas Thakur continued, always gather together, chant Krishna's names, and remember Krishna. Remain like that at every moment. Never hurt anyone. Never trouble anyone. Instead, always think of Krishna, and a plaintive voice, always call out Krishna's holy name. Forget about material pleasures. Forget about material pleasures. And always flee the company of materialistic people. Stay far away from materialists. And always think of Krishna. A heart attached to sense pleasures brings only trouble. Sense pleasures are a trap that catches men and women. Sense pleasures lead to destruction. By divine arrangement, a fortunate person attains the association of sincere devotees. He turns from material sense pleasures and worships Lord Krishna. However, if one commits offenses, he will return to materialistic life. Please hear about this. Haridas Thakur is warning them that they have achieved the association of a devotee. They have achieved preliminary symptoms of love of God. But he's warning, if you commit offenses, you will be forced to return to materialistic life. The benediction that I spoke did not mean, may you remain prisoners. Rather, day and night I give the benediction, may you forget material sense pleasures. Playing with words, I actually gave that benediction. Please do not feel even half a sesame seed's worth of unhappiness. I place a glance of mercy on all spirit souls. May you attain firm devotion to Lord Krishna. That is the real benediction that I give you. Please do not worry. In 2 or 3 days, you will be released from prison. This I tell you. Stay in a situation of material happiness, or stay in any situation, but do not forget these truths. Haridas Thakur thus instructed the prisoners, and in doing so, instructed all of us who are all within the prison house of material energy. Prabhupada explains, Durga means prison. Everyone within this entire universal creation is a prisoner of Maya. Srila Prabhupada explains, in this prison, it is not like the gross prisons of this world where they keep shackles and bars to keep you in. And actually, even the best prisons that man has ever created, people have escaped. But this prison, no one escapes unless they are released. Maituna Agara. And how are we bound to this prison? By the shackles of material enjoyment, which culminates in sex life. Maituna Agara. This attraction for material enjoyment is so strong. It keeps us bound birth after birth after birth. Trying to find pleasure through the process of puna punas charvata charvananam, chewing that which has already been chewed. But the fact is, it is impossible to give up this desperate attempt. Even those who attain impersonal liberation, aruya krishtena parampadam tata, even they eventually are likely to fall down again into materialistic enjoyment because they're not experiencing a higher taste. Anandamayo byashat. The living entity is by nature pleasure-seeking. Why? Because jivara swarupa krishnara nityadas, we're eternally servants of Krishna. Our nature is to love Krishna. And that love of Krishna is ananda. It is eternal bliss. We are all seekers of bliss. We cannot do without bliss. We cannot live without bliss. The bliss of love is what we were all seeking. In forgetfulness of that, we are bound by the promise of material happiness in this world. And it is very, very difficult to give it up. The shackles of material enjoyment are so deeply rooted within our hearts, it is factually impossible to give it up. But there's happy news. Daivi heshu guna mayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye papadyante maya meta tarantite. The three modes of material nature are like ropes that keep us bound up in this prison house of material existence. But Haridas Thakur is speaking to all of us prisoners.